is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
We want you to look with me at the Gospel according to Saint Mark. The Gospel according to Saint Mark. Chapter number four, verse number 35. When we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse 35 through verse number 41. Amen. When you have it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. It's so ironic that they danced off the song that I told the storm, and I'm going to preach from the text. It comes from a similar analogy. Amen. You have it, so the word of God, according to St. Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither and the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a tag, a title, a thought, or a topic, when Jesus is on board. Subtitle, the power to speak peace. The power to speak peace. Amen. Amen. And we spent the last couple of months talking about Jesus, the most important figure in the world. So important that, and he's the most famous, just in case some of us didn't know it, but he's the most famous and he's the most important figure in the world because he is the only one that through his death saved the world. Amen. Amen. He is so important because there's no other religion that claims that that anyone could die and save the world. Just Jesus. So this explains why the world so hate him, even though God so loved the world. The world hates him, and anybody that associates with him, the world does not like. Amen? The Bible even declares to us that if we try to be friends with the world, we become enemies with God. Amen? Amen. And so when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about somebody that really means something, somebody that has some true significance, and not only true significance in history, but true significance in the present and in our future. Amen? So when we talk about this, we're looking at it from the gospel according to St. Mark. Mark is who we would call John Mark. He's the same one that went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. And Paul said that he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to go into the places that they were going to be doing these missions because he thought that, well, he's just too immature. And Barnabas thought something different. So they separated, and Paul took Silas with him, and John Mark went with Barnabas. John Mark, later on, Paul says about him, he says, now he's ready for the ministry. We got to understand that we are not going to automatically be ready for everything that happens in our life. Amen. But it takes a little time sometimes, and it takes some Barnabases in our life. And what I mean about Barnabas, his name means encourager. We all need somebody to encourage us in our life. And when we get someone in our life to encourage us, then we can feel like we can achieve the things that we could not have achieved if we were all by ourselves. He was so instrumental. Barnabas was so instrumental in John Mark's life that he finally penned this gospel. And it is believed that this gospel, it is the eyewitness account of Peter's account of what happened in the life of Jesus. Amen. And so John Mark wrote this, but we got to understand that he just didn't write something just to be writing. He wrote this so that we could understand who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. And so he wanted us to understand who Jesus was. And so when we read this, we need to understand that he's trying to prove a point. And so while he's trying to prove a point, he's trying to also let us know that we must believe in the only begotten Son of God. Amen. So we took this topic or this title because the Holy Spirit informed me that there are some people that although there are some things happening in your life, you still don't have the peace of God. Although you have some good things working in your favor, you still don't have the peace that God wants you to have. Many times we think that we have peace and we don't. Sometimes we just have a little bit of happiness. You know, happiness only comes because of happenings. Things happen to happen in my life. I happen to scratch off a ticket and win $500. I happen to file my income tax and I it comes because I position myself in front of God because he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And so when we talk about peace, it's not about escaping, getting away from it, not dealing with it, running from it, not dealing with it, confronting it and handle it. You know, we got to face it. We got to fix it and forget it. Come on and say amen. And so when we talk about having peace, we got to understand that Jesus said, I give you my peace, not as the world give it. He said, I don't want you to try to run from it. I want you to go right through it. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil because God is right there with me. Why did David have peace in the midst of the death valley? Come on and say, man, he had peace in the midst of death valley because of who was with him. And so I can have peace because of who's with me. I can have peace because God is with me. Jesus tells us that I give you my peace. Amen. And we got to understand that the other way that we can keep peace is that if we keep our mind stayed on him. He said he'll keep you in what? Perfect peace. If we can keep our mind, that's why the devil wants to keep your mind on other stuff. He wants to keep your mind on your troubles. He wants to keep your mind on your haters. He wants to keep your mind on your sickness. He wants to keep your mind on your disease and what's before you. We got to understand that if I can keep my mind on Jesus, then it doesn't matter what's before me. It doesn't matter who's not for me. Because the Bible says, if God be for me, y'all slow this morning, who can be against me? Oh, somebody should have shouted right there because there's been a lot of things that's been against you. But God is for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I always tell you what that means in my theology. It means that if God is for me, then everybody else might as well be anyway. Because you're going to lose if you're not with me. Because God is with me, amen. Amen. We got to have peace to know that all things will work together for the good to them that love. I don't know. I'm talking to somebody over here, I guess. That all things work together for the good of them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. We got to have peace about that. I'm not moved by what happens and what I see and how people and what people do or what they say or what the devil. Time he shows up, he draws a crowd. So Jesus' evangelistic ministry is moving, is strong, because every time he shows up, a crowd gathers around him. And so he begins to talk to them about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he began to give them parables and things like that. And when he would give them parables or give them something in a story, he would later on talk to his disciples about what that story really meant. Because he wanted to make sure that they were clear, because they were going to be the new evangelists after he goes off the scene. And so when we hear a word, God ought to take that word to you in your time alone, in your time away from the crowd. You ought to still be thinking about the word. That means God is getting you ready. God is preparing you to be a great witness and evangelize his people. When God still talks to you about what you heard preached this morning, I wish I had somebody. And so he talked to his what? Disciples. He didn't talk to the multitude about what it really meant, but he talked to the disciples about what it really means. And when you make yourself a disciple, when you become a disciplined learner of God, when you become a disciplined learner of Jesus Christ, he gives you a little extra. And I don't know about you, but I always want a little extra. I'm from Louisiana, so we like that lanyap. We like a little bit extra. And so since I like a little extra, I don't want God, don't just give me a little bit. Don't just give me a little dab. I want a little more. I want something extra, because I know with God there's always more. There's never the least, but it's always more with him. God wants us to see that there's more. You know that there's more to life than what you've experienced already. There's more to life than what you know. And the Bible even tells us he came to give us life, and that more what? Abundantly. He wants us to have the abundant life. And so that's my job today, is to make you hungry for more. My job today is to be salty, to make you thirst for the water of life. I wish I had somebody today. He says now, and he goes on, he talks to them about, he talks to them about the mustard seed, and he talks about the kingdom of God is like that small, but when it begins to grow, it becomes so big that even the fowls of the air would want to lodge under its shadow. Amen. Want to be up under it and want to look like that, that they can rest up under it. Amen. And so he goes on after that. He begins to talk to them, and he gets tired, and then he says, let's go over to the other side. Now, see, we got to understand something. When Jesus tells you, let's go do something, and then in between you doing something, there's going to be trouble, he doesn't tell you about the trouble. He doesn't have to tell you about the trouble, because he already handled the trouble. But sometimes we forget that he's already said, let's go do it. And we start to get stagnant, and we start to get fearful, and we start to fall back because of the opposition that comes. Let's go into the, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go. He says in verse 35, and the same day when the evening was come, he said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, the first thing we got to see here is that if Jesus said something, it is just like a promise. He does not have to say, I promise you. Because he is God and he is not a man that he should what? Lie, nor the son of man that he has to repent. So he does not have to say, I promise you, baby, it's going to be over. No, he, if he says it, that ought to settle it. If he says it, it doesn't matter if he says, I promise it, because he's going to make sure that it comes to pass. Because he said that heaven and earth will pass away before my word. Come on and say amen. Pass away. He said that not one jot or tittle of my word will be taken away, but it will be fulfilled. We got to understand that he cannot and will not lie to us. God is not like your boyfriend, your girlfriend. He's not like your boss who promised you that raise you never got. God, when he says something, he stands on it and he does exactly what he says. Remember what I always say, God can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Come on and say amen here. You can't get God to do those three things, but everything else God can do. Amen, amen. And so he promises them, he said, we're going to go to this other side. And if verse 36, it says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even in as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, whenever people follow Jesus, we got some people that ain't going to be right there in the boat with you. And for all the churches who think that they Holy Ghost headquarters and don't know, you know, they got Jesus on board and there can't nobody else be in relationship with Jesus but us. We're the only ones. I got news for you. Jesus is in all of our ship. Amen. And so he says that verse 36, he says, and they went and took him, and there were other little ships with him. There's some other little folks that's going to come along with us because we follow Jesus. They're going to follow all. Amen. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now what? Full. Now, let's look at the perils of this storm. Even though he promises that we're going to make it to the other side, the storm came. And the perils of the storm, the wind begins to blow, the rain begins to fall, and the boat begins to rock, and it begins to be beat upon by the storm. But then, to top it all off, the boat gets full. And you know how it is when you're in a storm and you're just full up to here. You become so full that your tears begin to flow. You become so full in a storm that your heart begins to beat fast. Your blood pressure begins to rise. You start shaking. You start going through some things. And you go through some changes. You're too hot, then you're too cold. Then you just can't take no more. And you want to pull your hair out, but except it's not yours. You bought it. Just trying to check to see if y'all still awake. Y'all with me this morning? You get to a point, and if you're a man, you want to pull it like me, and you can't because you don't have none. But the storm arises and fills the ship. It fills the ship. And it gets so bad that even though you've been in a storm before, you just don't know what's going to happen in this storm. You don't know if this is the one that's going to take you out. You don't know if this is the one that you'll never get up from. You don't know if this is the one that you'll never recover from, that this is the one that will leave you maimed. It will leave you hurt. It will leave you beaten and battered and broken. It'll leave you, all that you've worked for is going to tear you down to a point that you have nothing left. You've cried so much that you don't have any more tears. All you can do is moan and holler. You stay up all night. You're not getting rest. Because of the storm. You can't rest when there's a storm. I don't know about you, but sometimes you know how they always talk about the quiet before the storm? I always wake up in the quiet. It don't have to thunder for me to wake up. When it gets too quiet, I say, what's going on? And I get up right in the middle of the night. Amen? So when we look at the perils of the storm brought about a wind that blew so hard that it blew the ship whatever way it wanted to blow it. And it seemed like sometimes we get in situations that we don't have a choice in which way we go. It seemed like we're being pushed into something. Oh, you can't have no peace when you're pushed. It seemed like the rain is so falling so and the water is taking over, and it seemed like I'm getting full and so much that I can't seem to see my way out of this. You know how when it rains you can't see? I can't see my way, but what I gotta believe is that Jesus is on board. I gotta know that since he's on board, that it's gonna be all right. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We gotta understand that sometimes we are flooded
in our life. Sometimes the storm floods our life, but the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift, he'll lift up a standard. And since he lifts up a standard, I know that the standard would lift me up, and therefore I become like a cork in the water. So it doesn't matter how they try to sink me, I keep popping back up. I keep rising because I float. I don't sink. Come on and say amen. If you don't believe me, ask Peter. When Peter was walking on water, and he was doing something nobody else did, Peter began to sink. Come on and say amen. And you know, nothing just begin to sink. If you throw a rock in the water, I heard Ronnie Williams Jr. say, it sink. If you throw a rock in the water, if you throw something heavy in the water, it don't begin to sink. It what? Sink. And the thing I love about when Peter was walking on water, the Bible say he began to sink. But Peter wasn't sunk. Come on and say amen. As he began, he reached out and he said, Lord Jesus, help me. And Jesus reached down and picked him up. And he said, why did you doubt? Because as long as you got faith, faith will never sink. Faith will... Y'all don't hear me today. Faith can't be drowned. And so I don't care what the enemy brings your way. I don't care how he floods your life. Your faith can't be drowned. Faith is what's going to keep you... No. Faith, I got faith, so I'm going to stay lifted in here. I got faith, so I'll never go down here. I'm always going to be above and not beneath because I got faith. I got faith. You see, the devil wants you to sink. He wants to drown you. But I'm not going to drown because I got something in me that can't sink. Oh, you can bury faith. But you can't drown it. If you bury it, it'll grow. Lord help me. See, the devil don't want you to, he don't want to bury your faith. Because he know if he buries it, it's going to grow. He wants to sink it. When was the last time you dropped a seed in the water, a watermelon seed in the water, and it grew a watermelon? No. It don't do that. It has to be dropped in the soil. Oh, come on and say amen. It has to be dropped in the dirt. That's why the devil wants to get you out in that water. So he can try and drown you, but I got faith. Lord, help me today. I'm trying to preach to somebody and preaching to my own self. Oh, Lord, help me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. And so he says that that this great storm, he says great. And when we talk about being a great storm, that means it was not your ordinary storm. You got to understand that these men were fishing. Jesus. We get in a storm, we get in a predicament, we get in a situation, and we think that Jesus ought to panic with us. We think that he ought to hurry. Oh Lord, you see what I'm going through, and Jesus is, he's just asleep. The storm is raging, the wind is blowing, the rain is falling, the boat is getting full, but Jesus is asleep. And we want him to wake up and do something. Oh Lord, help me today. And he's not in a hurry. He's not in a panic. Why? Because he controls the storm. He has power over the storm. Why get in a hurry? Why get in a panic when you got control? You see, the people who panic are the people who don't have control. Oh, Lord, help me today. I got control of this, Jesus is saying. And so in verse 38, you go a little further. He says, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They begin to petition him. You see the promise and the perils of the storm, but then you see the petition in the storm. They begin to petition him. They said, Master, you need to wake up because we can't dip this water out. It's getting to be too much. We've been trying to dip with these bowls, and it ain't happening. And the water's about that far from taking us all the way under. But you need to wake up, and you don't care that we might perish. You don't care about your own self. You are back here asleep. You don't care that we all gonna die in this storm. Come on and say amen. And your ministry's gonna go away. It ain't nothing gonna happen after this, but all of us will be dead. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. But Jesus was asleep, and he woke up. But when they woke him up, they woke him up and said, you don't care about us. Sometimes we get up to a place where we think that God doesn't care what goes on with us. We need to know that God cares, because if he didn't care, he wouldn't have given us breath this morning to rise. We need to know that God cares, because he wouldn't give you the opportunity today to have a new day. He wouldn't have gave you a new mercy this morning. God cares about us. The Bible said, cast your what? Cares on him, for he careth for you. The word careth in that text means that he provides for you. God will provide for you. God cares for you. And we need to understand that when you pray, when you petition him, that he will answer your prayer. The problem is that we don't have confidence in him answering our prayers. Why? Because the devil make you think that you're not worthy. He make you feel like you don't need it. He make you feel like God might not answer you. But the Bible tells us that God knows what you're going to pray before you yet pray it. Don't you know that Jesus was on the pillar just waiting? He knew they was about to wake him up. He knew that they were going to ask him, did he not care about them? But he still laid there and waited for them to come ask him. And sometimes that's what we got to do. We steady dipping water. We still trying to get it out the boat. And all we need to do is go say, hey, Jesus, I know you're sleeping, but I want to ask you, don't you care about making sure I make it to the other side? Because your word depends on it. You said that I was going to make it to the, y'all don't hear me today. But what they had forgotten, they forgot that he told them, let's go to the other side. And see, when God tells you something, you can bank on it, because he said, let's go to the other side. It doesn't matter that a storm came in the middle of when they were trying to go to the other side. He already knew that they were going to make it. And so all they had to do is hear what God had said. He said that we're going to make it. Even if the water gets in the boat, we're going to make it. Even if the wind blow hard, we're going to make it. While the rain is coming down, we're going to, y'all don't hear me. Even if it's dark in my life, I'm still gonna make it. If they talk about me, I'm gonna make it. If they don't like me, I'm gonna make it. I wish I had somebody here. We got to understand that if God said we're going to make it, we will make it. And I don't need to get panic, and I don't need to get disturbed because of the storm, because the storms of my life, they may blow, but we got to understand that my soul is anchored in God, and no matter what happens, I'm going to make it, because Jesus is on board and he has the power to speak peace to the storm. I wish I had somebody. We need to learn how to pray in the midst of our trouble. We need to learn how to open our mouth. But what we do sometimes, we cry about it. We whine about it. We get negative. We get depressed. We get down. We think that it ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. But if I prayed about it, the Bible said that God will answer my prayer. He said, if I can make my supplication known by what? Thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. Oh, I thank you that you're going to do it. I thank you that you already done it. You see, we got to understand that God is already in, he was already at the other side. He already knew what was going to go on the other side. And so since God already knows what's going to go on, God doesn't have to panic with us. He will not panic, because he's God. And if I can just believe that God is with me, and see, that's the problem. We allow him to sleep and he's right there with us. Will you call on him when you have trouble? Will you call on him when the water's rising in the boat? When the water's rising in your ship? And some of us need to understand that the ship could be your relationship. When the water's rising in your relationship, will you say, God, help me out. God, do something for me. Come on and say amen. Let me slow down. I don't want to miss nothing. So they begin to call on him. They woke him up. They say, Master, do you care that we're going to perish?